Welcome everyone to the Crit Rate Podcast. This is episode 29 for January 25th. I'm your host, Justin Skirbo, and today I'm joined by Liz Lysui.
Good evening.
I'm joined by Justin Chow.
I'm here.
And Alex Shaw.
Liz Lysui.
What's up, everybody? I go with a thing. I don't know.
I think you nailed it.
Once I hit a stride, there's no stopping me. Welcome back to another episode of this week's podcast. It's still January. Games are slowly trickling out. The wave is about to hit in February.
Yeah.
And we've got some basically all controversies in the news this week. Mm. I don't know if everyone's been following the stuff, but we've got some Suicide Squad stuff to talk about. We've got some High on Life Justin Roiland stuff to talk about. God. There's all kinds of just weird stuff that's going on. But before we jump into all of that, how's everybody doing? Justin, how's your life right now? What's going on, man?
Doing pretty good. Playing Elden Ring again. Gotta say, that drug hits hard. It's a great game. And they opened up the PvP, so I was up to like 2 in the morning last night just plugging away at PvP after I left Alex at like 10:30.
Is there like... it's just PvP that you're messing with?
Well, pretty much. I mean, we're going through the rest of the game, but like a new build and a new weapon makes the game feel new. And also, as I'm going through with Alex, I'm realizing how much of the first playthrough I missed. And I missed a lot. Mm. So
there are entire zones that apparently
I've never seen. I'm getting achievements, and I'm like, why am I getting this achievement?
What zone?
I beat this game.
Nokron. He never went down the well. He never went down the gravity.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I thought that
Wait,
was necessary.
What?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Wait, what?
So I never, because you can get there from another
like
way.
With the ghost Norse people?
No, I've definitely done that, but there's a point where you get to where you see, like, you meet D's brother. A D of the Dead or whatever, and then you never did any of that, and I fought the two gargoyles at the end of that, and I never did any of that, got that achievement, like what's happening there, you get into the coffin, move up to this like ant paradise situation.
Oh man, there's some cool stuff that happens after that,
Getting spells that I didn't get before, so...
Blew my mind.
Yeah, a lot of things are reinvigorating me to play this game. Plus when I was playing PvP, it was just like, the PvP matching is interesting. They have this entire thing where it's like you have 300 seconds to kill each other as many times as possible. Everyone only gets one potion of both MP and HP. And then if you win, you only get one. Like if you kill them the first time, then you only get one like health boost. And then after that, you're on your own. So then you die and then you get reinvigorated back with potions and stuff. So it's really fascinating, like back and forth. And the builds that I'm coming across are also fascinating. It's really fun to fight against. So it's nice to like be in like a structured setting, but it feels weirdly like Smash Brothers to me, and it's like weirdly as addicting as Smash Brothers because you're getting into games so quickly that I stayed up till 2 in the morning and I realized that I can't play this during the weekends anymore. Weekdays. So that's just a thing. Anyway,
that's pretty awesome to get its hooks back in you so hard.
It's just, I don't know. I was playing Tactics Ogre for a while, and then I realized that although I love that game to an extent, there are definitely some parts in it that are just not as like symbiotic as like a Final Fantasy Tactics or the Tactics Advance games where everything is like well thought through and like how things are played out. So some things just feel old to me and it's like frustrating at certain points. But other than that, my life has been going pretty well, Justin. Thanks for asking.
Nice, man. Glad to hear it. Alex, you are also here.
I'm also here.
Tell us about what's happening in your life.
My life. Interesting. Played a couple games. Start there.
Yeah.
So I did get Fire Emblem last week. I haven't had much time to play with it, so I've really only put like an hour and a half in.
Yeah.
How's that hour now? Hour and a half?
I'm sorry?
How was the hour to hour and a half?
The beginning's a little slow. I mean, again, I only put an hour and a half in, so it's like a lot of anime sort of tropey intro stuff.
Definitely.
So it's sort of just getting through that, which is just...
Like, explain. What do you mean by, how tropey?
Like, you
power
know,
of friendship.
Protagonist wakes up after 1,000 years sleep. He doesn't remember anything. There's like generic castle people are coming and like, oh my, oh hey, you're finally awake. And then there's like, oh my god, there's evil. And then it's like,
it is
probably the one to solve anime stuff.
It definitely feels a little. I think the word is stilted at the beginning, where it's just like all of these kind of like canned situations just happen one after the other. Where it's like I've also been playing Fire Emblem extensively. I'm probably like 25 hours into it already. I really like it a lot. But the beginning is exactly what you're talking about. It's like it's like amnesia character that looks very weird. Then it's like, oh my god, you're this person. I'm this person. Yeah, you're this person. Yeah. Holy shit! I guess I'm this
exact
person.
Exact opening of Tales of Arise.
That's exactly. Oh yeah, you're
totally right. Fully, fully, and yeah, and then it right. There's essentially one plot line that's going to push the whole thing forward, and it what you're experiencing right now is just like the. We just need to push through like the plot kickoff and then everything will happen.
And I'm under no illusion that like this is Fire Emblem. This one in my mind seems maybe a little bit worse, like in that regard, what we talked about. But I know what Fire Emblem is. Like I still like the combat. Like I'm going to get more into it and that's fine. But the beginning is just like a little weird. And
I was just going to say, I think you're right. I think it's definitely, it's a lot more streamlined than other ones. And it's definitely what appears to be a lower effort story than the others. Like there's just less like effort there, but like, I think it's just to get you into the game as fast as possible. Like, just like, all right, like, is this enough? Okay, good. Now go.
Yeah. You know? I'm looking forward to kind of getting more into it. It does have something I've been noticing. It's not just in video games, but in other media too. I have a pet peeve that I've never discussed. It's that when there's a castle, and this happened in House of the Dragon, and it happens in this game where you have this magnificent castle, and it's somehow only filled with the main characters. So you have these giant halls, and there's no soldiers around. It drives me crazy. Like it should be. If not bustling, like there should be active people everywhere, but there's not a guard in sight. You know, it's like this giant place with five people in it.
That was fixed in Three Houses, where like there was
people
like
everywhere.
That was
the gatekeeper and all this stuff. Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah,
will say I understand exactly what you're talking about. It's the same immersion break that I get when I was playing Octopath Traveler, and then, like I feel like there's a lot of times when you're in an area where you expect there to be like. Life
and there's some dissonance. There's some dissonance there.
Well, the thing is, there's not much exploration in this game. Like, there's like there is an overworld, but it's like not really. It's kind of just like the getting ready for the battle area.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But are you talking about like during cutscenes? Like the first royal figure that you meet, they're like, okay, guy, let's go meet this first royal figure. And then you go and you meet this person and there's nobody but that person seen in the castle. And you're like, this is a castle and you are clearly a person of importance.
They're a lord of nobody.
You literally can't be here by yourself.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, now initiate battle.
Yeah.
Nobody shows up for the battle except you and the two people you showed up with. And it's like, okay, like, I guess we're defending the castle.
That's weird.
This is a common thing in, like, media in general. Like, it makes sense. You don't want to hire all these people, whatever. But that was a really bad, like...
Yeah.
And that's what I just experienced. Where it's just... And it's so big. It's not like a tiny castle where you maybe whatever, but... Or there's not even dead bodies. It's just...
Yeah.
Whatever.
I will say, getting into it further, like... Like I said, I'm probably about like 20 or 25 hours into it at this point. And it does get great. Like, I think what I'm liking about it is how streamlined it is. Like, I'm getting into action really fast. And I think the coolest thing about it is the new characters that they introduced. This is like the third or fourth like major Fire Emblem game that I played. And every time it seems like they're able to recycle like the majority of the cast, and they're all unique personalities. Now, some of them are totally insufferable. But for the most part, they're all very like unique and interesting. And I'm like attracted to some for different reasons than others. And like, I want to know their backstories, and then I want to see how they interact with each other. So there's a lot of that. And it really starts to open up as you progress, like as you start visiting other kingdoms and all this sort of stuff, and more people become like part of your party. So a lot of that is really cool to see. And the actual primary mechanic, I think, is actually handled really well. I think we're the most skeptical of that, which is like, oh, you're just fighting alongside Marth or whatever. But it takes a much more lore heavy angle to it, where it's like the baseline is you wake up 1,000 years after anything important happened. So it's like all the important stuff happened 1,000 years ago. And each of the these people are held in these rings, and they're called emblem rings, and they hold the spirits of famed warriors, like these legendary heroes, and you can, your person is just so happens to be the one person that can communicate with the rings and draw the heroes back from the dead to come, or not from the dead, basically bring their ghostly forms and allow and apply their wisdom and tactics and stuff into your own fighting style, and that allows you to be fucking OP in fights. I don't know. I like the way that it's handled.
Even at the beginning, I thought it was pretty cool.
Interesting.
I did think it was pretty funny, though. So he falls asleep. At the beginning, you don't know why he was asleep for 1,000 years. But the funny thing is that he was wearing that ring the whole time. And Marth was like, don't worry. I watched over you for that 1,000 years. I'm like, Marth was just there. Like, because he had the ring on. Yeah. Marth was just like hanging out watching him the whole time.
You can't leave.
That just sucks.
That's what yeah. It's
I mean, what else is Marth doing though?
Right? Well, he's dead. So.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get more into that, but I was hoping to play Forspoken, but that we don't have to really get too into that. But that's not getting great reviews, so that's gonna probably be one of those like PS Plus pickups that, or if it goes on massive sale, I'm still interested in it. The reviews are saying the combat and exploration is still fun, but it has right now has performance issues, and then it's just like not a really a complete game.
Yeah.
It might be worth a shot. And then the last interesting that I've been playing right before this podcast, or in the afternoon today, there was a Bethesda conference that had was weird, but they did announce this new game, Hi-Fi. What's it called? Hi-Fi something.
Hi-Fi Rush.
Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Did you know about this, Liz? You weren't part of that.
I watched it.
Okay, yes. You did. Okay. So I played that game. They announced it and it came out on the same day, which was
very exciting.
Yes. It was funny because chat was like, "This is going on for too long. I don't care." And the moment it said that it was going to be on Game Pass, everybody was like, "This is amazing!" Wins, like everybody's typing W's into the chat.
I always hide the YouTube chat.
Yeah.
I hate watching the.
I like seeing it. It's like a little heat map of what everybody's thinking.
But it's like a heat map of.
Yeah, I know.
But
often negativity.
I get.
So I put a little over an hour into it. It's actually surprisingly solid.
Yeah,
the animation is excellent.
Wow.
The voice acting and the script, like it's pretty funny. It's got a nice sense of style and personality.
Yeah. The battle mechanics looked interesting.
Battle mechanics are really interesting.
Felt kind of like Kingdom Heartsy, but then there's like this rhythm.
Kingdom Hearts based. Mixed with the what is it called? Dance of the.
Crypt of the Necro Dancer.
Yeah. So there's a beat running through the entire game. There's a song that's playing the whole time, and if you align to the beat, you do extra combo and damage and special attacks. And it's like the whole you can see like the trees are moving with it, and that's like his power that he's picked up. And it's just a really interesting execution of that type of combat style. I mean, this is the Bethesda game, and there's like a lot of quality to it.
Yeah, I got a chance to play it too, and it is like out of that whole conference, that was easily the most interesting looking thing. Pretty much a snooze fest the rest of the time.
Yeah,
Redfall is interesting for its own reasons, but this game in particular, I was like, okay, not only am I intrigued by this concept, but it's also like. Tango Gameworks, which is like I like the games that they've made previously, so it's like this is interesting rhythm stuff. I'm always down for rhythm stuff,
right.
And yeah, I mean everything you said is totally right. It's the animation is ridiculously good. It's very Into the Spider-Verse, yep. Like almost exactly, which is kind of it's so funny now that I look at that, like, and I'm thinking about it from a programmer's perspective, and I was like, this is a cool artistic move, but it also doesn't require them to animate as many frames of animation, so it's probably like actually financially easier for them to make a game look like that.
It looks so smooth, like it looks like not Pixar, but like a high quality animation studio like Spider-Verse.
Totally.
And it goes and it looks like that in the cutscene, and then you're just in that world.
Yeah,
there's not like a break where it's like now you're you know from Final Fantasy VII. I just dropped hot chocolate on myself.
Nice.
But there's no separation there. It's just a really smooth, nice game.
Yeah. The battle mechanics are definitely interesting. It takes a little getting used to. It's like, I feel like, I don't know if there's like a latency thing going on or something, but I feel like it moves slightly faster than I'm hitting the buttons to. Like, I feel like I almost have to mistime myself in what makes sense for it to work correctly. But
you double check your game latency on your TV?
Oh yeah, no, I'm on like game mode everything, like, you know. It's just interesting. But I will say that, like, yeah, the voice acting and like the text that comes up and stuff, it's all very good. And like the whole game moves at a very snappy pace. Like, I don't know. I was like expecting this is cool, and I'm actually like, this is really cool, you know? Cool game.
Yeah.
How's that recommend for a review?
It. Game. Yeah. Cool. Cool and it's fun.
Yeah. Yes. Cool and fun.
Yeah. It looks good. I'm definitely interested.
The overall conference was, or what would we call it, a conference or direct or whatever you want to call it? It was kind of disappointing. I really expected, especially seeing Bethesda in the title, that we would hear something about Starfield.
That's kind of unacceptable.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Like you're going to hint at Bethesda. Well, you're going to tell us that it's like a Bethesda, like, you're not going to give a Starfield.
Don't
like,
show me
anything.
Your face. Like, yeah. They weren't at the Game Awards with Starfield, and it was like, we're going to have. And
we're
then their
have
first showing.
Later, yeah.
This game's not that far away.
So what does it tell all of us about its actual development right now?
Who wants to put a bet on it's getting delayed again?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
I feel like it probably will be.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Either that or it's going to be a game that doesn't give out like review units or the embargo is going to drop like after.
I'm so glad you said that. That was something that really intrigued me about
Forspoken.
About this game, Hi-Fi Rush or whatever.
Interesting.
Because it's like, if that game just dropped today, no news outlet knew about it. And everyone's going to be rushing to get their reviews out. And right. Even just from what we've played so far, like, honestly, pretty good. Like, definitely.
So why no marketing?
I would say probably 8 territory. I don't know. Like,
so far.
You know what I would say? It feels a lot like Ratchet and Clank. That's probably what it feels the most like. It looks like Sunset Overdrive.
I'm getting like a Sunset Overdrive combined with No More Heroes kind of feel.
But the
combat-wise,
way you're exploring and the platforming and stuff is very Ratchet to me.
Yeah.
Do you think... I mean, Bethesda is the one that created this, right?
Tango Gameworks, maybe.
Oh, okay, never mind. What, was there anything at the show that was from Bethesda?
Well, technically, Tango is owned by Bethesda.
Yeah.
Because they, they were saying that it was a Bethesda...
Many companies.
They're
own,
all,
right,
yeah.
They own
okay. Bethesda.
Right.
Sort of.
Okay. I was just wondering, like, at what point is, like, what would be the decision to not have any marketing behind a game that is relatively good? Like, would it just be to satiate attention spans? Like, what was the logic behind that? Like, just to make Game Pass look good once in a blue moon?
Well, I'll put it. I mean, I think I'm a case study for this, right? So I have never been actively subscribed to Game Pass ever. Like, I don't have a credit card associated with my account, right? I would only ever buy gift cards, like, whenever I could get them, like, super cheap. And I just sock them away. So, like, when something like this happens where there's a game I want to play, I just activate the gift card.
I should do that.
And, like, this was the time that I was like, oh, I want to play this game. I just Googled, like, Game Pass gift card, and I activated a subscription. I was like, boom, now I've got Game Pass for 3 months. But I'm thinking maybe that was the move. Maybe they drop something impulsively to get people to be like, oh, let me jump on Game Pass. Maybe they canceled Game Pass at the end of the year and they're like, oh, let me jump back on because there's something worth playing again.
Oh,
you know?
Interesting. I do think I'd be saving a lot more money if I did exactly what you're doing.
Still dropping it. Yeah, it's such a weird... It's literally the opposite of Starfield, you know, where we hear years in advance. It's like... But not that many people watch that show comparative to the entire audience.
That's a great point.
Gaming.
There was only like 30,000 people in that live
stream. That's what I mean.
Right.
So like,
it was pretty small.
So
there's multiple live streams, but you know,
either way, like it's a drop in the bucket. So they're just going to have to rely on word of mouth and like reviews. That, like it's going to be talked about, I guess, but it's still just like it's thrown in the face of normal marketing.
I mean, if there's nothing coming out right now, what are media outlets really writing about? You know, like maybe this is the way to like get them. Only 30,000 people on there, but if the game's...
Like, what are they going to be writing about? They're going to be like, Xbox and Bethesda had a conference and didn't talk about Starfield again.
Well,
like, that's going to be
definitely one of them. And one of the other ones is like, and this is a game that you can get on Game Pass right now, and it's actually good. Like, I mean, maybe that's attracting good attention on like a... But the game looks like it cost like at least a little bit to make.
Maybe
it looks
something
good.
About like other games are coming out soon. Maybe like people would impulse play this as opposed to like if it was in their if they knew it was coming out they wouldn't put it in their plan.
But it's a little strange to me that they wouldn't even just say available in 3 days or something, you know, like why immediately?
I mean, also frankly,
I don't know,
like,
if you're gonna pull the available right now, I feel like,
well, Nintendo
right now,
Nintendo does this, right?
But it's
right.
Like,
but Nintendo does this with like weird like appular small games.
This seems like a pretty real game for them to Well, yeah. That's what I mean. Self drop.
Like, drippity drop.
I feel like they would want, I don't know, like the, I don't know, the, I feel like the sentiment that's floating around is like, sure, the value that you get out of Game Pass is great, but you're not really missing much. Like, the, it doesn't have the exclusives right now. It just doesn't, you know? So it's like, well, what's going to draw you to that? And this this is a certified Xbox exclusive next-gen game that looks great and is likely going to review really well.
And they're just like, why, eh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right. Why would you not want to?
It's not like they've had such a banger year that they can
it's
relax.
It's just quirky enough too that I feel like the, like I don't know. We've been in the review sphere for
Zeitgeist.
Years.
Yeah.
So it's like I feel like this is absolutely the type of game that you would see reviewers kind of glom onto, in the sense that like it's not a mainstream title, so they're not just going to laud after it because. Or I'm sorry, they're not going to wait. Well, that was the right, correct application.
No.
To laud this game because it's just like the new Assassin's Creed or something.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like a little quirky, and it's like, oh, did you play High Rush?
Right.
Or Hi-Fi Rush?
See, I don't even know whatever. The title.
Yeah. Do you play that game?
It's like, see, we can't even word of mouth it because I don't know what the words are.
Because you know what?
The title's a little trippy.
If it is Hi-Fi Rush, I keep confusing it with a game called Bomb Rush Cyberpunk that I'm actually really excited about, which is also a self-shaded game.
Yeah. Hi-Fi Rush.
It is Hi-Fi Rush. Yeah. Okay.
I don't like having...
It kind of trips off the tongue. It's not a super smooth...
When you have Rush in a title, it makes... It's like having go in a title. Like it sounds a little cheap
Gravity
to me.
Rush.
I still like the word
Pokemon
Rush.
Go.
Rush is like a mush mouth word.
Yeah,
Rush.
It's not like strong.
Yeah.
But it's just you would think at least a little bit of marketing. Like marketing, that's why it exists.
It wouldn't be great. I mean, there's no way, at least from what I'm seeing so far, there's no way that this is not at least a 7.5 game. You know what I mean?
Like, unless it's like totally unfinished later on, because I only played it like the first chapter, basically. But
even just the cutscenes, the way that the cutscenes are handled and how good the voice acting is, I'm like, this is a good game.
Yeah.
Like, this is a perfectly playable, enjoyable experience.
I kind of want to know all of the games that have received no marketing, but are like decent games. Like,
I feel like the only other one I can think of is Apex Legends.
But I mean, I can go...
They stealth dropped that.
They did, really?
Yeah.
When it first came out, yeah.
When it first came out, that. It was like, because something else had just come out too. And so they just stealth dropped it. And all of a sudden we were all like, oh, yeah. Apparently we have to play this game. It's getting reviewed pretty well. It like came out last week. Who even knew?
But it's like if I go into the Nintendo store, I see so many games I've never seen trailers for or never heard about or never seen on like a direct or any type of conference or media outlets talking about these things. Maybe they're just
smaller games.
You know, I clicked on Game Pass. It wasn't on, like, it wasn't the first thing. I had to find it. I'd searched alphabetically and found Hi-Fi.
It's on the homepage, or at least when I
it was for you.
It was on the homepage. Yeah,
I had to dig for it a little bit.
I didn't have to go anywhere. It was literally the first thing.
Like, maybe they had like just maybe they hadn't updated it yet.
But yeah,
it was funny. Some smoke came out of the back of my Xbox. It's like I turned on an old engine.
Yeah, dude,
I haven't turned it on.
Some dust.
The cylinders were firing. Yeah. It's funny. I go, I check out my Xbox once in a while, not to turn it on, just to make sure it's like still there. The fan is always going. I feel like my
burning
fan is
up that energy.
Yeah, I feel like my fan is always going. Is that not happening?
On top of it, sometimes to see if it's hot, and like sometimes it's
hot.
It's not.
This segues into news. Did you hear about that
fire?
Microsoft just released a new power saving mode for their Xbox, where you can turn it on, so it will update games and the system at certain times where it's the cheapest to draw power from the like your grid, and then it will shut down at certain, like you can have it shut down completely at specific times.
Sexy feature, and they should have added that to the direct.
Apparently, it's a political issue right now. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, I didn't. That's I
political
that
issue for who is? I thought you would expect this to be good.
Yeah, it's like a Republican versus Democrat type thing. I don't know why.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
How dare they?
Them.
Do they really need to get involved with this when there's like been two mass shootings in the past week? Aren't they busy with other stuff?
Yeah, right.
I guess not. They gotta. Yeah.
That's weird. I didn't. Yeah. All right. Well, something to look at.
But so anyway, that just reminded me that was a thing.
Fascinating.
Kind of cool.
Before we continue on in the news, we didn't get to ask Liz what's up.
Yeah, you didn't.
Liz, how's How's life? How's things going?
It's pretty good.
You're looking.
Yeah, what are you up to?
Wonderful right now.
Thank you.
Awfully pregnant. I didn't want to lead with that. Yeah. So I played you with the wonderful.
But wonderful. But yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, that's the only appropriate thing to say to somebody who's pregnant.
Is what?
Yeah. Nothing. Inappropriate options are, wow, you've grown so much since the last time I've seen you.
And not like, ooh.
Yeah, I get that surprisingly a lot.
Which
oh
one?
My God, you're huge. Thank you.
Why, I've been working at it.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So kind of you to
But so yeah, I quit Mass Effect 1. It's too old
not
to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you go to Mass Effect 2?
I did. I just bailed on Mass Effect 1.
I don't
know. How much better and is it? Just
it is
shooting?
A remarkable jump.
All right, maybe I should do that too.
Yeah. So I just
that intro is in fantastic though. The start of that game is so good.
Yeah, as soon as it started, I was like, "This was the move." I don't feel bad about leaving.
So do you bring your? Is there a way to make those choices again, or like how does it handle that? From the
it
first
handles
game?
It as if you didn't play the first one.
It's like a
so
comic strip, right?
You have yeah. So you have to if you finish it, you can import your save. But I didn't finish it, so I couldn't import anything. So I redid it. I only had made like. Two or three decisions from the comic. So it tells you the story from the first game as a Dark Horse comic. Mm. I like saw it in the corner, like Dark Horse Comics, and it'll say, you know, and then I got to the Admiral and I told him, and it'll be like, oh, what
who'd
did I decide?
Again? Who'd you kill?
Caden.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he's,
of course.
Wow. Yeah. I completely forgot all about that game, but I know I killed Caden.
Yeah. why'd you kill Caden? I don't know.
At the end, you have to like, send somebody on a suicide mission, and it's like,
oh, it's one of your people.
Like, you got to send Ashley, or you send Caden, and it's like, well, I've been romancing this girl for the whole game.
Exactly.
What am I gonna do?
He's still,
like milk toast too. Yeah. So you're like, ah,
is Caden the pilot?
Also a racist though, so it's like a little weird. She doesn't like the Krogans, or the other ones. Whatever.
I think the Krogans.
What do you mean those people?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah,
okay.
So it takes you through all the decisions and you, okay. Whatever, do that, and then you can reset your whole character. So I tried to remember what I picked from the first one, but you know, I'm just kind of starting over.
Anytime I have to do that in a game, it always just makes me think of, I'm just looking at their storyboard. Like,
yeah.
When they're making the game, they're like, these are the important decisions, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and everything else doesn't matter.
Oh my God.
It's just the.
I was surprised how few important decisions
that's
there
what
were,
I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Did they give you enough context where they're like, did you release the Rachni from mind control? And you're probably like, what the hell is a Rachni?
Yeah, they tried, but it was. I was glad I had played at least a little bit. So that I sort of knew who the characters were, roughly.
Were
like
Geth introduced in Mass Effect 1? I can't remember.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The first one's all about the Geth.
Okay.
And, like, Saren's working with them or whatever. So that's the kind of stuff that I was like, okay, at least I know who these people are. I know who, at the end when it's like, who's going to be on the council? And I'm like, my boy, the Admiral. What do you mean? Of course.
Yeah.
Like, pick this politician. He's a loser.
Yeah.
So I didn't if I hadn't played, I would you'd have no context for.
Yeah, yeah.
They try to explain it. They're like, you know, whatever career politician or this man that I can trust. I'm like, obviously, I'm gonna pick the man that I can trust.
Well, I'm glad you gave it a shot though. So you have like you got the taste. You know what it was all about. But then you just I think that's fine.
Yeah. But as soon as you start, and I did not get very far in the second one. I just started today. But as soon as I started playing, like it's so much smoother already.
It's
and,
probably
like,
one of the best like kickoffs. Like. I hit on and I'm playing the game. Like that kickoff to the beginning is so good.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And like the characters are so much better now that I think about it. Like Miranda and oh my gosh.
I haven't got
Miranda.
The elusive man. I forgot the elusive man in that game, dude.
Yeah. So pretty much the only
elusive
person
man
I've met is Miranda.
Yeah, he's like a critical entity in that game. He's so cool.
But yeah. It's a quite a leap graphically, mechanically.
Yeah.
It's still very similar, but like already things feel more normal to play.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All the buttons feel more normal.
I feel like in the first
reloading,
one...
Reloading? Why can't you reload in the first...
Now.
Yeah, it's so
and it was
weird.
So funny because, like, their justification is so weird. And, like, I remember reading some... Or, like, watching some review on YouTube or something back in the day. And they were like, yeah, in the first game, all of your guns just, like, overheated. Like, they didn't, like...
Yeah.
Whatever. So they were like, just to make the game play better, they added like space clips. Like, shoot, and now, yeah, your energy weapon just has a clip for some reason.
New battery.
Like, okay, great. Perfect. Doesn't matter. It makes the game feel better to play.
Yeah, it just feels more natural to play. So,
yeah.
So yeah, so I might actually get through this one. We'll see.
And I just know you don't have to drive around on planets like looking for resources.
Yeah, those were not good missions.
That was terrible. Yeah,
the cover mechanics are way better in that game. The shooting's way better.
Yes, everything is functioning much better. Like, yeah, I remember. I had a big problem with the battle mechanics. I was always getting shot in the back, and freaking Krogan was always in my way when I was trying to.
He's so big.
Yeah, I'm trying to cover here, and he's in the way, and I'm trying to move him. And
I think in 2, they add the dedicated wheel for you to control your party members too. You're probably not that far yet, but like. Once you have a part, you can ask them with stuff.
Bionics?
Yeah, but I think in this one they changed it slightly, so it's like a little more like streamlined. I can't exactly remember the difference, but I remember
they changed it so like at least when you perform some sort of like tactic, you can tell it's happening. The first one, I just was kept pushing buttons, and I'm like, did that guy take damage? I don't know. Yeah. I'm just sure rush. I hope that did something. Yeah.
They metroid the game very well. I won't spoil the intro of Mass Effect 2 because, Justin, you should play it at some point.
Yeah. One was hard.
Yeah. I've gotten to that part too.
It's like the shooting mechanics in one was just everything's too drifty and it didn't feel good. And I wasn't sure if it was input latency or what.
Bad in the first one. Yeah.
I mean, that's like.
Hated.
That's and like, the AI was so bad and stupid.
Years of Xbox 360 learning how third-person shooters work.
Yeah. Was that Xbox 360? That was a 360 game, the first one?
That was a very early 360 game.
Did that come out around the same time as, like, Brute Force?
No, that was original Xbox.
Oh, was that? This was 360.
Yeah.
Damn.
So.
Huh.
We'll see. I'll see how far I get before Harry Potter comes out.
That's right.
Harry Potter.
That's right. A lot of controversy around Harry Potter right now.
I keep seeing JK updates, and it all sounds good. Not the controversy part, but the features part.
What's hilarious about the controversy is you've got people saying like the most awful stuff to each other about it. Like it's obviously the transgender issue. Like they're saying that J.K. Rowling's like a transphobe or whatever. So they're like, oh, we're gonna boycott this game or whatever. But then in the same breath, it's like that. It's not doing anything to the game. I mean, like, currently, I think we talked about this last week, too. It's like, currently, it is the best-selling game on Steam. And it's not even out yet.
That's hilarious. Like,
what?
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me at first. It'd be interesting if they responded by saying, like, oh, yeah, well, now all, you know, female features are also available for the male features. So it's like...
I think it's already in that game.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, I don't think it matters. It has nothing to do with that. It's more that, like, J.K. Rowling said something.
Oh, no, I know,
like,
I know.
So they're just like, whatever she made, we don't like it.
She didn't really make it. It's not like she's
involved in. Anything that has that's Harry Potter stink on it is transphobic.
I totally understand not liking her.
She kind of sucks.
Attack it, but this... I get it. Look, if you don't want to play the game because of that, there is a direct line from her to this game, but I understand if you want to go that route, but she is, I'm very sure, not very involved at all in the production of this game, so it's...
At this point, she's so unbelievably rich that whatever boycott you're going to do is not going to materially affect her life in any reasonable way. But that is not taking anything away from the fact that if you want to vote with your wallet in that way, you absolutely should. That is what you can do.
Yep. There's nothing wrong with that, for sure.
Yeah, I'm still going to like Harry Potter, even though I think J.K. Rowling kind of sucks.
And that's completely fine, too.
Well, it's like at a certain point, it's like the Harry Potter universe is it's almost separated. It's become its own living, breathing entity.
It's like transcended past. Yeah.
It's like it's less extreme, but like a George Lucas and a Star Wars, you know, it's...
Unless he gets royalties for every...
involved in Star Wars anymore.
But... Right, and even the stuff he does get involved with, it's like, ugh, maybe we shouldn't involve him very much.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I get it, but I am really looking forward to this game, and God, I hope it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, like, totally surprise us with how bad it is, which would be a shock, but I am very much looking forward to this game.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Soon. Next week? 2 weeks?
February 10th.
Yeah, not next week, but the following.
Jeff's birthday. Weeks.
Yeah. Trying to figure out how I can really play it real hard in 3 days before I have to give birth.
What do you mean? You got 3 days?
Yeah.
Just bring it with you to the hospital.
Controller and you're you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun thing.
You want to hold the baby? No.
I'm good.
I need this.
I could probably play.
Just like slot it right there.
Yeah.
It. Him. Her.
The baby.
Yeah.
It's a him. Yes.
I felt weird saying it on the podcast. I don't know why. Okay.
It's okay. It's not a secret.
It's a boy. All right. Let's get into it. So we have a handful of news topics that we can go through. There's a couple and a couple. Woo. So let's
okay.
We'll go through the lamer ones first. So guys, unfortunately, this past week we had to say goodbye to. Oh no, we already did the Stadia's death. That was we talked.
Oh, about that was actually the day of the podcast last week.
That's why I wrote it, because it still came up in the feed. All right, let's talk about this Justin Roiland thing. So this is video game adjacent. He's obviously the voice of Rick and Morty.
And co-creator.
Their likenesses were in games like Multiverses, and he has also worked with Squanch Games that made Trover Saves the Universe.
He's the founder of that, too. Like,
he's the guy.
Yep.
It was Trover Saves the Universe. What was the other one before that?
Oh, the
Rick and Morty
Garage
Rickality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
I thought that was like a job one,
yeah,
or like a,
yeah, like Job Simulator.
Was that? Yes. And then most recently, High on Life. So he has since left all of these projects and has removed himself from Rick and Morty,
or has been removed.
Yeah. He left some things, and then they cut ties. I think they cut ties with him on
Adult Swim.
On Rick and Morty,
Adult
Swim.
And then Schmeckle's gaming development.
Squanch
Games. Yeah,
he says, the reports are he left voluntarily.
Yeah, he sent his resignation. Yeah.
So this all comes on the heels of some controversial news. It turns out that allegedly he's involved in some kind of domestic abuse scandal, as well as a criminal, what's the word?
Hostage situation.
Imprisonment?
Imprisonment.
Yeah.
By menace.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a crazy word. But, I guess we'll find out in the court cases and stuff what actually went down. But it apparently is serious enough and has become public information enough that it's had to remove him from all his projects.
It's always a bit of a...
It happened a while ago, but...
Yeah, like 2020.
I think something with the case came up recently that, like, people started picking up the story again.
It's always a bit of a shock when things like this happen from the public's perspective. This wasn't a thing. And then all of a sudden, this happened and he's gone. You know, he's presumed guilty already. And this is not like a... He's innocent or anything. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But it's like, it's that it just all happens at the same time. So it would just be really interesting to know, like,
just got canceled.
What were the steps? Like, what happened? Like, they obviously know a lot more about the situation. Adult Swim wouldn't just hear about it day of and be like, oh my God, get him out of here. It's like, there's a process here that happened that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Very sudden from, like, you know, Alex sitting in his chair's perspective.
I've been hearing about the domestic battery stuff for a while.
That was okay. So I didn't know.
It happened. The initial reports from like 2020, and it resurfaced again a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And I've been reading about it for weeks. I've been kind of waiting for something to happen.
I didn't know that it was that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know it was
recirculating
from 2 years ago.
Again.
3 years ago, but it is crazy too, because like the first thing that my first reaction was, Rick and Morty is not going to be the same. The guy is not just like the creator, but he's the voice of both Rick and Morty. Like, I cannot imagine taking out one of the biggest like creative figures of that like studio would be. And then the way that they reacted to it was like, the team is still working on season 7 and it's going to be fine. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that thing was signed for another like, what was it, like another 7 seasons or something like that?
I think I've been thinking about this too, because the biggest problem isn't you can get imitators. Like, that's one of the most imitated voices, right? Like, you can probably get someone that sounds pretty similar, but I'm sure does so much ad lib and so much like
the writing too.
He's inserting the script doesn't say, Rick or
right. Yeah.
Like, he's doing a lot of these little moments and these little things because that's why the success of this thing happened is because of him. I mean, he's the founder. So it's going to be real interesting to see like how they fill that void, because they could get someone that sounds like him.
Yeah, but totally is it going to feel the same.
I feel like they won't, though, honestly.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
I feel like when they.
But they'll just write Rick and Morty out?
No, like, I feel like the goal for recasting won't be to try to find somebody that sounds just like Justin Roiland.
I don't know. I
hope it does, because those voices are so iconic. Like, there's no other.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I feel like it's never, you know, Iroh was never the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what comes to mind.
And it's always worse.
Yeah.
But he was pretty good. But you can't just change. Well, you're just gonna change Rick's voice all of a sudden. And I mean, if any show could do it, they could. But
it's, I mean, I feel like it's a better, not like change it drastically, but I feel like it's a better play to find somebody who is going to be better at the craft than finding somebody who's trying to imitate.
The comments were saying people were thinking that they're going to sound different, and then the show will address, like, Rick will turn to the camera like, hey, we sound different. Oh, this is weird. And then they just go on with it.
I mean, that'd be funny. But I know that
maybe it'll be some sort of plot point. Maybe they'll go to some sort of universe and something will happen.
I could see that. But it is,
we'll see.
And we're talking about all of this because he's also associated with the games, and like, that studio's actually been more successful than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Just
High on Life was doing well.
Yeah.
Just had this game came out and got so much good. That game, while critically not reviewed well, has had a lot of word of mouth, and people really like that game.
Yeah.
So, sucks.
Yeah. It's just an interesting swing in the industry, but something that's worth talking about. I mean, it's not an insignificant loss, both in all forms of media.
He's a known name.
I say lost like he died. He didn't die.
But he's dead to us.
He's pretty much gone, I think, from the industry.
He's disappeared, let's say.
He's not in the entertainment industry anymore.
Yeah, he's rich too. I know his name. He's rich.
Yeah.
So what's funny is when Adult Swim dropped that tweet that was like just a tweet of a picture that said like, season 7 still happening, blah, blah, blah. It reminded me a lot of another piece of news that happened recently, which was that Joseph Staten of Bungie fame announced his leaving 343. So, did you guys follow this Halo story at all?
No.
Okay. The way the story goes is,
did we talk about this last week?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because I was going to correct. I thought we talked about it where, because there was a rumor that maybe you're going here, but the 343 was taken off of the Halo project.
No.
And that
we definitely did not talk about this.
Okay. And then that was a whole thing for a couple days, and then that ended up being proved false. Yeah. So,
I think we did talk about it, though.
Or it was at least in the chat. I don't know if we talked about it.
I think we just talked about it in the chat. We didn't talk about it at all.
The way the story goes, with the information that we have now, is that 343, obviously, was having a hard time with Halo Infinite for quite some time, and then they pulled on Joseph Staten. Joseph Staten is a famed figure within Bungie. This is his face. This is what he looks like. If you ever watched the Bungie documentary.
Good looking guy.
He was the director of cinematics for Halo, and his job in moving to 343 was to essentially get Halo back on course, to like make it feel the way that it's supposed to, get it to be the way that it's supposed to. So him leaving the team basically signals to the rest of the world that like the last like real Bungie holdout that still had the core of Halo in his heart has now left the team. And this reminded me of the Justin Roiland thing, because 343 actually had to post a tweet that said 343 is still committed to making Halo, you know, and creating new adventures in the future and all this sort of stuff, which is baseline just kind of a weird thing to say, because it's like, well, yeah.
Your
like,
studio is literally named 343 after a Halo.
So I think that tweet was in response to the rumors that it was.
Yeah.
So it was just a bizarre thing, but I think in general the feeling is of kind of a lack of hope for Halo Infinite as it is, and sort of like a lack of competence for 343 as like a functional studio.
Name the last time there's been an article that's come out that had something positive to say about 343.
Halo.
It feels like just a waterfall of just like beatdowns on 343.
Because I also feel like they're going up against expectations that are like, there's no way, they're insurmountable. Nobody would be able to reach these levels of expectations from the fans and investors, I would say.
But also like people in positions that high leaving a studio is like, can't be good.
Yeah.
And anytime
it's like the captain's jumping off the ship.
Yeah. Anytime that happens, you're like, ooh.
Didn't that happen with Final Fantasy VII Remake at one point? Like the director was recasted or something. The creative director was taken off.
No, they took the game away from CyberConnect 2, which are the guys that made the Naruto games. They were originally responsible for making Final.
Oh, and they brought it in house. That was good. I totally thought
the smartest move they could have made.
Yeah, right. I thought some indirect. I don't know. Well, anyway,
similar thing happened with Metroid, the game that's never going to come out.
Right.
Well, that game's just never.
Yeah.
What game?
Yeah. Right. Literally,
it doesn't exist.
It was 2017 when we saw that JPEG.
It wasn't.
I remember exactly where I was when Shane pulled out his phone.
I was going to say, Shane Weaver took out his phone and showed us.
I was sitting in the ESRB office watching that.
And that
came out at the same time as Skull and Bones. They were like back-to-back trailers.
Ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
We can talk to our 2017-year-old self.
Just a logo.
Right for unannouncing rather than Skull and Bonesing it. Hilarious. Crazy. So that was it.
I hope it's not the end. And it won't be the end for Halo, but it's just, it sucks that it's in
dire straits.
Yeah, it would be nice if Halo could come back from it.
What do you think should happen to Halo at this point?
Because just turn it into board games and call it a day.
Well, it's like, I feel like the big win that, at least from an external perspective, I'm not that involved with it, but like, from what I understand, 343 really did do a good job in fixing Master Chief Collection, which was a disaster when it first came out. But apparently it's very functional now. It's apparently really good. I think it's funny. If you look at like Steam charts or whatever, there's more people playing Master Chief Collection than there are playing Infinite, which is a little embarrassing, but also like, I mean, those are the games that made that game what it is.
I think they just focused so hard on the, like, let's make this free-to-play, season pass, multiplayer, content delivered on a regular basis type thing. Because they made... I've said this on the podcast before, and we all played Halo. The campaign is a good campaign, but that is totally washed away by everything that's happening. So I think if you focus on the campaign, you really make that your... You know, keep that up to your standard, and then just don't do this sort of, like, trend-chasing... multiplayer thing. And then, I mean, a big thing is that they just botched everything. Like, it was already a little shallow, and then they just botched all the release stuff afterwards. So they just need to be sort of well planned and competent about how they're putting out their content.
Because
the game, I mean, it's still fun, it's still there, but it's just
it's not all the way
it's painful
down. it is a shame but apparently they're still trucking along, so we'll see what happens with it. I mean, honestly, I feel like probably the best thing to do is to just, like, not talk about it for like, long. Yeah, like, just, you know, let people kind of miss it after a while, you know? Like, because right now it's like, whatever you have to say is not good news, and whatever you've done, we're not impressed with.
I agree.
So it's like, you know.
We're fickle, though. We'll forget. Give us 2 years, we'll forget.
That's what I'm saying. And when you show us a cool new logo with a warthog driving over green grass, I'll be like, yeah.
Sure.
That's what I want to see. Yeah. Okay.
That's the play.
Let's get into, this is the last piece of news that I've got, which is a couple, so there's two pieces of news that are symbiotically connected, and you'll see where it all happens. So the main news is that Avengers is shutting down its servers. Square, or Crystal Dynamics, infamous, not really fantastically performing Destiny clone Marvel Avengers. They're shutting down the server, so that game's basically dead now. And this ties into a bit of a controversial image that we saw come up for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. So the news, basically, is that there was a leaked screenshot of a menu of the game, and this caused a whole mess
Suicide
of
Squad.
Controversy. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.
Did you guys see this screenshot?
No.
This just popped up recently.
I'd recommend checking out the screenshot. It's it is a screenshot of a menu, and for our audio listeners, I'll do my best job to explain what this picture looks like. So this is a menu screen where you see four characters. Obviously, this is a four-player online multiplayer game. The character that you are playing as is taking up at least the middle third of the screen. And then along the left-hand side, you see a selection of menus. And along the top side, you see essentially tabs that you can move through. Now, the sections of this that had people concerned were the hierarchy of the tabs at the top that included things like a battle pass and your looks or something. Style
looks.
Tab.
So cosmetics. And there's also four different currencies, which also points the gameplay in a certain direction.
So what people are assuming is because of the different currencies that are involved with this, because of the inclusion of a battle pass, and because of the lean on cosmetics, people are assuming that this game is going to be leaning more towards a Destiny-style based sort of game.
A la, like, Division.
Yeah. There was also a very funny remark that was made by Kyle Bossman in his most recent video, which I highly recommend watching.
That was a good one.
Where he noticed that all of the primary characters in this screenshot are carrying guns, which is weird because Captain Boomerang is not really known for carrying a gun.
He carries a boomerang.
And the giant shark is not used to carrying a gun.
But no, he definitely doesn't usually carry a gun.
But what this is potentially indicating is that this game is not going to be like the Batman games, such that it is not a brawler so much as it is a third-person shooter, like a Division or something like
that. Oh.
Which would check out, considering that they're doing this battle pass and all this other sort of stuff,
right.
If that's the type of game that they're trying to chase, which would be more of a, you know.
Right.
I mean, you can see that Captain Boomerang's gun also has like a skin on it. It's also a difficult screenshot to find because Warner Brothers has tried to take this off the internet.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's been removed from almost everything.
Yeah. You can still find it, but you have to dig for it. It's not like a...
Yeah, we found it.
Google search.
One very blurry version.
Yeah.
Kyle Bossman drew it.
He literally drew it.
That's amazing.
Because he didn't want to get in trouble, but
yeah,
I thought that was funny.
But yeah, so this brings up a lot of question marks about the game. Now, obviously, we haven't played the game. Nobody's actually seen the game, had the game physically to, see what it actually plays like. But just anecdotally, when you look at four different currency types, a lean on cosmetics, the inclusion of a battle pass, everyone wielding a gun. It's like, it feels like these things might be trying to, I don't know, artificially create some sense of investment, like games like The Division and Fortnite and all these kind of games do. So,
yeah.
Based on your impressions of this, now, mind you, this is just what the greater zeitgeist is inferring off of this picture, but we don't know if it actually means anything. Rocksteady's clearly trying to, or Warner Brothers is clearly trying to take this down. So maybe it's not even real. Who knows? But this is what we have to go off of.
Hmm.
It's not, even if it's true, it's not like a death wish for the game, but
it's not great.
It's a bad look. And especially for a company that, like, we were just talking about this, but Rocksteady's like they pioneered that type of game.
Right.
And
battle mechanic.
We think all gamers have held them in this high regard. Like they were the original superhero game people. Like they brought that out, and it was going to be really interesting to see what they're going to bring to the table for their next game.
Right.
And we've waited for so long, and then this comes out, and you're like the way Kyle Bossman put it, is like it's sort of like a trend chaser.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
It's that, like, it's, you've been cooking this for 10 years, and this is the game. That
it's
you made?
It's just a little. What's the word? It's disappointing, but it's just like a little deflating. That's part of it. Like, you want something a little bit more original.
Yeah.
They're also all such like fun kind of characters. To boil down Captain Boomerang to just like a pistol.
A guy with a gun.
You know, like it would be way more fun to play as Captain Boomerang when
customize he has his boomerang.
Yeah, that he has all these like weird boomerang attacks and, you know, like how is he going to use it in combat? Like that.
It's like the shark guy eats people.
Yeah, you know,
the thing is eating people.
He should be a brawler. He should, you know, you should be able to go up to people and throw them across the screen, and
which those things might still happen. But the fact that there is a
but he's
lean
carrying
on
this two-handed machine gun.
So
how's he gonna pick somebody up and eat them?
Yeah, that's not giving me a lot of confidence
from the trailers and from some of like he did a pretty good Kyle Bossman did a pretty good breakdown on it, but it. Like, there are special moves that he could do that you see in the trailer, and that there are skills. There's, like, a skill tree. So, in the same way that the Division has, like, you know, the tactical stuff and the grenades and, like, the special things, that's probably where you'll see the boomerang, and they'll probably all have a certain role that they'll play. Yeah. Or, like, he charges in there and soaks up all the damage, and then, you know, the shark guy.
The implication is, for every 1 minute you're throwing a boomerang, there's 10 minutes of shooting random dudes.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Like that is my fear for something like this, especially because that system. I mean, how many games literally wholesale copied it because it was so good?
You know? Yeah,
right.
Shadow of Mordor and like
I mean,
Assassin's Creed, for sure. Yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so, like, these are just a handful. But
when you're playing as Harley Quinn, you should have a bat.
You should have a bat and like Jack in the Boxes,
right?
And like,
yeah, instead of throwing like bombs, the Caltrex or whatever, you should throw like little candies that explode.
You,
like,
I was gonna say, you should be like throwing a pie in his face that's actually a bomb.
Yeah,
you know,
guys, they're going for a more realistic type of Suicide Squad. Boomerangs don't do it.
Yeah.
Tell it to Sokka.
Yeah. Nice.
So it's I really hope that this does turn out to be more than this, but
yeah, I feel like this brings up all the concerns of Gotham Knights.
You know, like, if the
a comparison you want, right?
Right.
Right? Like, that was exactly what the problem was with, like, as soon as we watched that game, we were like, ooh, that's, you had such,
Will this just be Gotham Knights, but it's actually 60 FPS?
Right?
That's the difference.
Right? And there was so much hope that it wouldn't be Gotham Knights because it was Rocksteady, but.
A little drop of optimism here?
Yeah, okay.
Ready? So, in the same way that Rocksteady took the third-person action formula that we knew a lot of, they didn't invent the third-person action formula, and they took it and then they made it their own, maybe they'll take this tired-ass formula of battle passes and like the skins crap, maybe they'll do it in their way that makes it fun.
Maybe this is a specific subset of...
Wow, there it goes.
Specific subset of
every
the game.
Every time. That chair pops.
When we do a video podcast, like, we just need to keep this chair in circulation so we can keep everyone on
this
the
chair,
chairs.
It breaks every time I sit in it. Or, quote unquote, the back just like unlocks.
I think anytime somebody
gives
sits
out.
I just lean back particularly hard. I don't think it drops on you, does it?
It did.
It did?
It does, okay. Yeah. But wait, getting back to it. So, like, do you think perchance that this news coming out is a good thing in that they'll readjust based off of...
There's time.
No.
Yeah. I think they're probably pretty
so the last. So
are.
The chances that the last... Yeah, the guy's name was Kevin Conroy, right?
Yeah.
Batman, yes.
And he voiced Batman in this game?
Yes.
Could potentially be like a season pass, kind of like...
Let's not talk about that.
Wow.
Let's not get to that level.
That would be so sad.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
There would be pitchforks.
Oh my god!
If that was the case,
It's like baseline Nolan North. But if you want the Kevin Conroy voice,
yeah. Now here's the other thing with the Battle Pass thing. Like, I could honestly, it makes me skeptical because there's cosmetics and stuff, which just tells me that's like that's a point of focus for them,
right?
But when I think about like Battle Passes in general aren't really like a bad thing. Callisto Protocol has a Battle Pass, for God's sake, you know what I mean? And like, that couldn't be less relevant to the game that I played. It does.
Wait, what? Why?
I don't know.
How?
I mean,
where?
I don't.
Where
know.
In the menus is that even a thing?
Still don't know.
I think the old.
You buy one, it's like $20.
Arkham games have had battle passes. Not battle passes,
well, season
but
pass.
Season that's passes, what, yeah.
Yeah, where you like get the stuff or whatever.
Where
maybe
they
the
it had like
maybe it's a season pass.
Yeah, they had like, you know, the Batgirl DLC, and if you buy the season pass, you also get like the Joker DLC and these three skins for Batman.
Yeah. The problem is when you see a battle pass and you see all the cosmetics and stuff, like what you're looking at is not, they didn't put that in there to make it a better game. Like, you're looking at a business model.
Yeah.
Like, this is
that
how
this exists to extract more money out of you. That
that's what I mean. Like,
it.
Maybe that's a different subset
mode?
Of the game. Yeah. Because it wouldn't really make sense to have a battle pass in the
a story based driven game.
Well,
would it?
But it's in Callisto Protocol.
Well, it's
apparently.
Two of the main
well,
things.
That's
so.
What I'm thinking.
But even then, like, unless you're playing some sort of PvP mode, like, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I'm just thinking, like, Division, you know, where you can run around together and customize your stuff, or you can just run around by yourself. That's kind of what I'm picturing.
That's
was
sort
there
of
a battle
what I'm
pass
imagining
for the Division
as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
What did you do for that? You just got cosmetics.
Was there a battle pass? Well, I know there were cosmetics. I just assume there's a battle pass.
I don't
but.
Think so because what would you? I feel like the battle pass is typically linked to like
probably like daily
tasks that you have to do and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I just see battle. It's like battle pass are a lot of just like experience, and then you get cosmetics from that.
There are seasons in Division too.
Yeah.
Your season progress,
But there's also PvP
was there
in that.
Yeah,
that's true.
People,
yeah, so there's resets and ranking probably.
Yeah.
Maybe there's PvP in this one too, and it's just like they're the bizarro versions of yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe you can join as a
that's
Justice
I mean.
League person.
Yeah,
maybe this is a PvP mode where you play with three other friends and, you know,
it says
like one team plays as the Suicide Squad, actually, and the other team plays as the Justice
League.
I could
see it as like a horde mode thing. Like, if you were just, like, fighting hordes.
Yeah. And... But having them, like, they just use guns in that mode?
Yeah.
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 That's how it's going to be. I mean, I feel like any of the trailers that we've seen, that's not how they've been pictured.
We haven't really seen gameplay.
We haven't seen gameplay, that's true. That's but that's like what I mean. Like, why would you create a cinematic trailer or cutscene that was so aggressively different than, like...
So they could disguise this, create the hype, exactly. And then... Yeah.
Why would they try to rip this down?
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
Because they know it's going to change the perception of
what
the game
that,
is.
Do you think that's the kind of studio they are? I don't think so.
Let's hope. Do they self-publish? Like, who's above them?
Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers is
right, right. So it sounds like... I don't know.
I don't know. They've been dormant for so long. I don't think the... Like,
but it's just like read between the actions, right? It's like if they've been dormant for that long and this comes out and they're trying to take it down, that's because they don't like the impression that it's making on people. You know what I mean?
That could be because it's false.
It could be because it's false, and that's 100% like that very well could be the case. But the fact that they're taking some kind of action to pull it down, it feels like.
I mean, it could be like Rocksteady's. They made an Arkham, and then Warner Brothers is like, all right, you know, when's your next game coming out? And they're like, next game's coming out in 2018. You wait. And now, like, years have gone by, and they still haven't produced anything. And Warner Brothers is like, you have to make X amount of money. And the only way to do that is we need you to put in a battle. Make whatever game you want. It needs to have a battle pass, because that's the proven model right now to get us money.
Yeah.
I could see that.
If actually the case, we'll never hear that. Like, we'll never find out if that's true.
Well, I feel like if it's in the game, I don't think it's Rocksteady's choice.
Yeah, that was the case.
Yeah. Rocksteady didn't go into this, like, we're going to make a live service game, you know?
Is that kind of like the...
Sorry, go ahead.
Is that kind of the, what is it, the Destiny 2 and Activision thing, right? And then they cut ties with Activision or whatever and, like, got that...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes having that, I don't know.
Retrofit it in, it doesn't feel...
Just they haven't put out a game in so long, and then you see something like this.
Yeah.
Those are the... I'm just putting those pieces together, but that could be totally wrong.
I think there's some truth in that. I think either way, it's like, I don't think this has completely, like, changed my position or excitement for this game, but I definitely think that it's, like, raised a question mark. Like,
yeah.
This has moved it from, like, a... day one sight unseen to like I'm gonna wait for reviews and like know what's happening.
I mean, I'm sure there will be more trailers or information released before it comes out.
We gotta see a gameplay trailer.
Yeah, 100. Yeah,
like this might.
I'm not worried about that because there will be more information.
I'm almost skeptical enough where it's like this would be where I'd be like, all right, show me that 10 minutes of raw gameplay. Like that's what so I can really understand what's happening here. Like show me the systems. Show me how it works. What is it? What does it feel like to shoot somebody or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because, shooting never worked well in those games, you know? You know, it was never really, because it was so much hand-to-hand combat. The only character you could play as that could shoot was, like, the Red Hood, and he just had, like, a couple little bolt sprays. It was like having a batarang.
Yeah. And it's funny, because, like, Gotham Knights, I feel like, trailered well at first, and then when we saw gameplay, I was like, oh no.
Right.
Yeah, we see the numbers.
As soon
pop.
As we saw the numbers,
if there are numbers, there are going to be numbers in Suicide
no
Squad.
Way there's going to be. There's no way there's going to be numbers. There's going to be like health bars. Wait, if it's multiplayer, there might be numbers. I don't know. I think numbers would be a mistake. That's my position on that. I think numbers would be a mistake.
It'll definitely be a mistake.
Yeah.
I think a health bar. All right. Bar,
we'll see. I mean,
we'll see.
I'm optimistic, but also I have no skin in the game because I'm not that big of a superhero fan, but that doesn't look too great. But we'll see.
Well, we've had basically all depressing news today, so that's unfortunate.
Mm.
But you should play Fire Emblem, and you should play
Hi-Fi Rush. Yeah.
Yes, very good. You should play those games because those games are good.
Yeah, I will try Hi-Fi Rush.
I feel like when you look at other promo images... Captain Boomerang does have a gun, but Killer Croc has nothing, and Harley has the bat. Yeah.
I mean, the cover image, like, with all of their faces, they're, like, looking down at you. They all have, like, bullet bandoliers on and stuff.
I've become intimately familiar with a lot of those images. I just made that game page.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we'll see.
All right, y'all. Well, I think we're... awesome. Hit a good stride here. This is a pretty short one. I mean, I think we did all right, though.
Mm.
So, for now, I think we're going to wrap up. We'll be back next Wednesday for more game news and discussions. But for now, thank you, Liz. Thank you, Justin.
Alex.
Thank you.
See you guys on the next one.